I truly felt them. On the way to the doctor's office, I completely fell apart and lost it and just kept praying for that, for the strength and for his wisdom.
Why were you going to the doctor? Some of these people don't know why.
They don't know why.
They don't want to know why. Okay.
Yeah, no. I was referred to a specialist. I was told that I have emphysema and needed to go to a pulmonologist, which I did. And that's why I fell apart.
What does it mean to fall apart? Let's get down. What's going on?
Get down.
I wasn't there.
I was crying. Had trouble seeing, so I, was ready to pull over, and I stopped. And the Lord just gave me the strength I needed to do. He gave me more than the strength. I had prayer from a sister, led me through. Got to the doctor's office and had to go through a breathing test and a ton of questions. And the doctor came in and she's, asked me a ton of questions, but she said it's not even clinically there that I have emphysema. So I am free and clear.
We'll take that, huh? Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Kathy. So let's turn our hearts to worship the Lord. He is worthy to be praised, and celebrate his goodness this morning.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou for sin and the peace that endures. Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
I wonder if we would be changed by a more awareness of the presence of God. I think we believe, that He is everywhere all the time. It's not like He's missing half the time and then once in a while He shows up. We believe that He's always present, always active in the midst of our various worlds. And this song is, in a way, is a prayer. Help us to be aware, confident, conscious of your presence. And it would make a difference in how we live, I think, and how we act, how we speak. He is present. It's not like He isn't. He is present. Our awareness of His presence very well could make a difference and how we act.
Let us become, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Father, that is truly a prayer, not just a song, but truly a prayer. Let us know. Let us see. Let us understand. Let us live in the reality that you are here and that your presence is what matters. Let us become more aware of your presence, we pray. Amen.
An element of faith, actually, our theology says He's present, but to believe is an element of faith. And I'd like us to, again, just pray that prayer. Lord, cause us to really believe what we say we believe. May our hearts be absolutely confident of your presence and your involvement in our lives. In every moment, every hour, cause us to be people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see all the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. I've laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The more I love you. against you and me. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace. It's overwhelming. Oh, I seek you.
We are broken, you are the healer.
Christ Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name.
Do worship you today. Worthy are you of all of our worship. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, and so we worship you. You are worthy of all worship.
Holy, holy, are
Start this song over, and I want us to just really focus on the lyrics here. The beautiful name of Jesus is such a key issue in our lives, and sometimes we can kind of let a cute or happy song kind of drift over the top of us. But let me just say that the name of Jesus is for you. It's for me. It's ours. We get it. It belongs to us. His nature, his goodness, his stuff, his name is ours. And so you were the word at the beginning. Let me just say, we're going to get there today. You were the word. He is the word. He's the word to us. He's the word in us. He's the word among us. That's the truth. He was the word. Let's pay attention as we go forward here.
You were the word at the beginning. One with God, the Lord Most High. In the glory and creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. In the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can compare to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't wander them without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Love was greater. What could separate us now?
What a wonderful name it is.
What a wonderful name it is.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The air tore before you. Silenced the voice of sin and grave. Heaven's a roaring. The praise of the glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever.
Our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a beautiful
what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus. Name it is. What a powerful name.
Stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You could not hold you, the veil torn before you, silence the woes of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you
are raised to life again.
You have no rival,
you have no equal,
now
and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory,
yours
is the name above all names. Name it is,
what a powerful name it is,
the name of Jesus Christ, my King.
What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. A powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Thank you.
I'm here to meet with you. Your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come, and you fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place? Won't you come and fill this place? Won't you come and fill this place?
Thank you. You may be seated. Big Dave just came and said he felt like that God was saying to us, I'm here to meet with you. Well, that's the truth. If God is here, he's come to meet with you. And he's saying, won't you come? And let me reveal myself to you. So open your hearts this morning. The Father has come and his desire is to reveal himself to you. Father, I do pray that we will be receptive to your voice, to your spirit. We don't need to beg you to come. You have come. May we be receptive to hear your voice and respond to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. George is going to preach in just a minute, and I'm just going to blab for just a few minutes. This week I have had a couple of serious encounters with God, and that's always good, don't you think? Say, keep it up, God. Even a thick man like George will eventually get it. One of the encounters, which is interesting, in the song that we sang about his name, I have been reading a book that's it's sort of a devotional guide that is a daily devotional, and it has very short prophetic type words in it. And so one morning, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I thought, well, I wonder what the word is on my birthday. You know, the dates are there, so I can look up my birthday and find out what the word of the Lord is on my birthday. And I was a little bit surprised and disappointed. There was like three or four lines, you know. Normally it's 6 or 8 or 12 lines, and this is 3 lines for my birthday. That doesn't sound very good. And the opening line of that my birthday was, whisper the name Jesus. And then there was a couple other lines that talked about being open to speaking the name of Jesus and expecting that he will meet with you. And so this week, throughout the remainder of the week, repeatedly, I have thought of that verse, actually looked it up on my birthday at least 3 more times just to get it. You know, a slow learner has to work at it. And began to breathe the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. The other thing that really caught my attention this week is that the recognition that God is at work in our lives individually, and He's always at work. He doesn't go on vacation. We do believe that God is omnipresent, which means always present. And He's at work in our lives to accomplish good things. We also recognize that God is at work in our nation. And we live in a time when the critical spirit, the negative spirit, is very rampant. And if you want to look at what's going on in our nation, there's a lot to be aggravated about. And we might join the voices that are throwing bricks and mortar and rocks in every direction. It doesn't matter where you are, there will be a cheerleader there to, I mean, I don't care what your political leaning is, there will be a cheerleader on your side throwing rocks at somebody. All you need to do is join the club and throw rocks too. And I want to, and I believe I really think I have something from the Lord this morning that He would like His people to understand. A couple of things. God is at work in our personal situation, corporate church situation, national situation, world situation. He has not gone on vacation. He's not camped out beyond Pluto someplace, spying on us with a spyglass. He is involved. He's at work in the United States of America, in the political mess that's going on there. He's doing something. And what He would like His children to be doing is releasing His power and purpose into the mix. We don't need any more rocks thrown in any direction. We need to release the purposes and power of God in every direction. In your bulletin, there's a whole bunch of scriptures. Too many to read. It might be worthwhile if you did sometime, not during my message, do it during George's. Nice guy, huh? But seriously, I'm going to just quickly bounce through it. First is Daniel chapter 2. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, you, O king, are the king of kings. How about that? Daniel is really pretty spouting. You are the king of kings. And it isn't capitalized king of kings. It's just king of kings. To whom God, the God of heaven, has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the whole then known world. He was in charge of it.
He was king over many kings.
Yes, he was. And he had by this time conquered everybody, including Israel. And I just want to say that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a great, wonderful Christian. Not quite. God chose him, put him in power. There he is. Skipping down to the next part, verse 31. Nebuchadnezzar messed up a little bit, and a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. Now the voice coming from heaven, I think, was God. God put him in place. And then a little bit later, God says, okay, I've had enough of that. I'm going to take this away from you. There's a sovereign move of God here. Then moving over to the next page. I'm going to skip right down to verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, for his works are true. His ways are just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Nebuchadnezzar came to that position after God had pulled the throne out from under him. And he basically went crazy. And he was driven out of the palace and driven out of power. And he went out and ate grass like an ox. And his, it's a miracle that he gets pushed out. And perhaps it's an even greater miracle that God restored him to his sanity and then restored him to power. That's an incredible move. God is involved in the affairs of men and nations, and we need to recognize that reality. Then moving on down just a little bit further. Nebuchadnezzar had a son. His name is Belshazzar. And the son takes up rulership in his place. And during that time, he begins to be a bit of an arrogant jerk. And God shows up and says to him in verse 22, "Yet his son Belshazzar has not humbled, you have not humbled your heart, even though you know all this." And what he's talking about all this was Nebuchadnezzar was given the throne, taken away, restored if he would be humble. And Belshazzar comes in, takes over, and right down the same road. And once again, you see the reality. God says, you knew this, and now it's your turn. And the judgment is found just a bit lower, where the handwriting on the wall, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. The kingdom has been removed." And that very night, the last verse there is verse 30, that night, Belshazzar, the king, was killed. I'm reading these just say, God is involved. It's not random happenings. Romans chapter 1, chapter 13, verse 1. "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God." So, okay, we've got a bunch of people in Washington. All right, this is getting close to home. Some of which you might think, well, pretty good. And then there's a bunch of those guys are so screwed up. You can't. They're cross-eyed. I mean, they're so messed up. They belong in a nut house. And then those guys over there, well, they don't know which way they're going. And so we have a whole mix. How did they get there? What? God put them, God put that idiot in, all right, be careful of the words, you follow what I'm saying? Because you see, if God put him there, that's God's doing, and is there for a very good reason. And so, well, what good could possibly come out of Nazareth? Who said that? The scribes and Pharisees said that about Jesus. but the idea is, we look at some of the stuff that's going on and we say, what's that again? What can anything good come out of Nazareth was referring to Jesus, because he was called a Nazarene and they were looking at Jesus and saying, no, he couldn't possibly be the Messiah. Oh, Nathaniel quoted it? Okay. Thank you, Skowhoffen. All right. So back to the where we are. Each one who's in power is in power because God allowed it or God purposed it. And you think, what is wrong with God? Now be careful there. Probably he knows exactly what he's doing, and he probably has a very good reason for doing it. And when we are noticing this, he has a reason for our noticing it, and he has an assignment for us to be about. And I want you to be well aware of this. The assignment is not to stone him to death. That is not our assignment. Or to criticize him or tear him down, whether or him or her. Those which are in authority or placed in authority are there to accomplish the good purposes of God. And right now, the good purposes of God is to bring his church to a place of saying, God, we need your intervention. We need your purposes accomplished. We call upon you, make your will known to me, to my people, my church, this nation. Become the ruler over this nation once again. The failure in the spiritual growth of the nation should not be assigned to Washington, D.C. It should be assigned where it belongs, which is right on the people of God. And so right now, we are in a place where God is calling his people to be the people of God and begin to release the purposes of God into Washington, D.C. You cannot expect the heathen to do it. Can you expect the heathen to expect God's going to do something for Washington, D.C.? Dream on. It's not going to happen. Nor the secular church, whatever that is, the random Christian. It will be the children of God who understand that God put these people in power and that God has a good purpose for doing it. And part of that purpose is to get his people to praying for his assignments. I'm going to skip right down to the box at the bottom. I wish you would read those verses because they lead you to a place. In the box at the bottom, well, the verse just above it, Psalm 75:7, it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. God raises up one and puts down another. We may vote and think that we choose, but ultimately, God rules over the affairs of men and nations. We do have certain definite responsibilities related to those in authority. Number one, we are to pray for those in authority. We've got a job to do. I couldn't find any words in Scripture where it said you should throw rocks at them. I couldn't find it. If you find it, would you let me know? And I will put it out next Sunday. I'm so sure that you won't find it that I can offer you that. Pray for those in authority. Number two, submit to those in authority as unto the Lord. Number three, honor the king, president, governmental leaders. Four, recognize that God is involved in every situation, good, bad, and ugly. Five, do what God asks of us. And six, worship God. The above five assignments are acts of worship if you do them. You can worship God by praying for those in authority. How does that worship God? It's agreeing with God. You're saying, God, you know what's going on, and you've got a good thing going here, and I agree with you, so I bless that president or senator or whatever. I release your purposes into that person. I call upon you to do your stuff. And God says, thank you for letting me be God. Thank you for letting me run the show. I really believe that God is, and I wish you'd read all of those scriptures that are listed in the bulletin. It will see the basis for this, the box at the bottom. There is a responsibility that you have as a child of God, and you can either line yourself up and participate with God, or line yourself up with the mockers and those destroyers and join in the club of throwing rocks. Now, I want you to hear, I'm not saying that all those people in Washington, D.C. are the best thing. They're all doing the right thing. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they're there because God put them there, and God calls upon his people to pray and intercede for them. And the purpose is the salvation of the nation, beginning with the church. The need, the deep need of the nation is for the church of Jesus Christ to line themselves up with the purposes of God and release the purposes of God in their own lives and in the lives of those in Washington, D.C. If you're not going to do it for your own life, you're not going to have a whole lot of pull in Washington, D.C., but if you will line yourself up with the purposes of God in your own life, and then release the purposes of God into the areas round about you, God will hear your prayer and establish his kingdom throughout the nation.
I'm going to talk to you today about just exactly how you do that, lining yourself up with the word of the Lord. I want to remind you that of a phrase, and I want you to help me finish the phrase. Okay, you ready? In the beginning. That's great. That's great. How did he do that? With a word. Okay, he said something and boom, creation happened. You see, the word of God is an incredibly powerful thing. I'm going to start it off again. In the beginning. Now give me New Testament. In the beginning. Was the word. And? And?
The Word was God.
Okay, here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Scooch had 15 verses in John, and it says, and the Word and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. What we know is that the Word, God, the speaking God, spoke forth, and there was a Word that occurred. He released a word, and that word took on flesh. We call that the incarnation, okay? There's this thing that happened where the word got spoken out, and it became flesh. There became an instantiation, a manifestation in meat, okay? Incarnation has carn in there, which is about meat, okay? It became flesh. It became incarnate. And this incarnate flesh, what was that all about? Somebody tell me, quick. What's this incarnation thing? Jesus, okay? The incarnation was Jesus, okay? So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus that he was talking about. But I'm going to tell you something. I looked up that scripture today. That scripture says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt, what?
Among us.
I looked it up. Guess what that word is? In. So here's the good news. Here's some really amazing news.
That word
that became flesh and dwelt among us is here today and available to us every single moment of every day. The Word is ready to dwell within us, and the incarnation is our destiny. Yes, it was Jesus. But the becoming of the Word of God, you becoming God's Word and expressing it completely and fully as the manifestation in this earth realm, the putting on of flesh of this Word, that is your destiny. That's what God has given you His Word for. We're going to talk a little bit about this, but I want you to know it's extremely good news that I bring you. You see, the same one who utters a word and the cosmos are created is the same one that utters a word with that same power to accomplish in you. On several occasions, Jesus compared the Word of God to a seed. And I want to talk to you just briefly about that. A seed in real life, in our regular old, you know, sowing of seeds and such, is often thought of in terms of three parts of the packaging, the shell of the seed. And then a lot of the rest of the seed has got some like carbs and proteins in it that's going to give the seed a start, get it going. And then also within that seed is a little tiny, perfectly formed beginning of what that seed is going to end up as. Okay, there's like a little tiny plant in there. Okay, in that plant is the full genetic code to, let's just say, take that seed and turn it into an oak tree. Okay, that inside of that seed is the whole blueprint that is necessary to accomplish that whole tree. Now, it's not the whole tree yet; it's the seed of the tree. So, in the case of us, when God speaks His Word, He packages it in a covering. And that package typically has a lot of grace in it. Because you and I, we need grace. We need grace even just to simply receive His Word. Okay, but that packaging of grace enables us to get all the way, enables His Word to get all the way to us, okay? And we can receive that. And then inside that Word, inside that seed, is an embryonic thing. It's the genetic offspring of the Father. Let me just say to you, when you have a seed, that seed is the genetic offspring of the parent plant, okay? It actually has within it the map, the genes, the code, the DNA, that is the map of that parent plant, or possibly the parent plants, okay, to recreate that thing. Inside of the Word is the genes of our Heavenly Father. Inside of the Word that He gives to you is the genetic code of the Father. That you would become incarnate is the notion. See, it's His genes sown into you, His field, that enables us to recognize and become Him, just like Him. You see, we are called to be in the image of the Father, just like Jesus was in the image of the Father. We're called to be in His image. And so the reality is that the genetic code that is implanted in us, the field, is precisely that which is the Father. We talked about the name of Jesus. And we've taught, you guys know the name of Jesus, His nature, who He is, how He is, the name of Jesus. I love representing it by the fruits of the Spirit. Love, that's Jesus. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss one? I'm not sure if I did or not. Those are the nature of God expressed, okay? That's His name. And that stuff is in every single word that God gives to you. So now we're going to get very operational about this in a moment. And I want us to be operational. But understand that the seed contains two things inside this shell. One is the genetics, the little embryonic thing. And the other is the empowerment, the energy, the stuff that gets you started. I'm going to tell you something. If God says something to you, in that word is the empowerment to begin that process. Now, the seed has to get its roots down in there, right, and begin to do something, and it'll grow into something. So in that seed is not the all of the empowerment to do all of it. It's going to have to grow. But it has the empowerment to begin. There's enough to start. There's enough to get going with. And then He'll add more. That's how it works, okay? This is the seed, the Word of God. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything while I was blabbing along here. So let me just talk to you a little bit. I want to draw us back. You guys that have been around for a bit know that I've been talking about three aspects of the Word of God, okay, that comes to you in your life. Number one is C. Somebody help me out. The commands of God, okay? Number two, J, His judgments. And number three, A, appointments, His appointments, okay? Commands, judgments, and appointments, okay? His commands are those things where He says, this is what I'll have you do. His judgments are, this is who you are, okay? And the judgments, as you may recall, are not based on how stupid you've acted in your life, okay? Because guess what? You've acted stupid, okay? We all have. That's just fact, okay? That's not His judgments. You see, His judgments are this judgments that have been exchanged between you and Jesus, okay? So your stupid stuff got assigned to Jesus, and Jesus' perfect representation of the nature of the Father becomes assigned to you. Those are the judgments of God. So God judges you to be patient, just FYI. His judgment for you is patience. His judgment for you is perfect love. His judgment for you is incredible self-control. His judgment for you is faithfulness and faith. His judgment for you is favor, as on the perfect Son who perfectly executed everything His Father ever wanted in His heart. That's the exchange of judgments that occurred on that critical morning, critical day of death and sacrifice and resurrection the next 3 days later. Okay, so this exchange of judgments. So your judgments are those. Don't forget that. Those are your judgments. And your assignments, or not your assignments, but your appointments, are both the timing and the positioning that God has for you as He declares it. If you haven't heard those sermons, or if you don't remember some of the sourcing of that, I'd encourage you to come and find out what the dates of those sermons are, because they're important for you to understand how to understand and receive from the Lord His Word. But we'll go forward from there. Let me just say to you that in the Word of the Lord, typically, there's all three of those in one form or another. A command, a judgment, an appointment. Usually, one of those is more importantly spoken of in a particular package. When God says something to you, often He'll say, David, go do this, okay? Which is fine. But underneath that is, and I've got the patience for you to do that. David, go talk to your neighbor. But God, He talks to me forever, okay? You know, I don't have 16 hours today. David, go talk to your neighbor. I've got the patience for you to accomplish that, okay? And He also, almost always, has set you up in a position, maybe in this case for David, it's his neighbor, okay? He's positioned, He's appointed in a location at a time such that this word has a context, okay? Do you see what I mean? So very often when God speaks a word to us, there's facets of each of these that are actually there. But let me say to you that all of these things are eternal in nature. The reason I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, I was going to spend more time on this, but I don't have that much time to spend. Each of these things is in fact eternal in nature. Let me just say that the scriptures talk about the reality that God prepared works for you beforehand, that you can walk in them. So that's your commands obeyed, okay? It talks about His nature that He has given to you several places. Colossians 3, here's the things that you get to be, okay? He talks about the fact that He has given you. I love this one. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the whole kingdom. You know that? The kingdom. He's given you the kingdom. It was great. So let me just say, all of these things are eternal in nature. We may have to get back to that at some point. But I want you to understand that the stuff that He's giving you, this, the commands, the judgments, and the appointments are, in essence, the genetics of the Father. And His purpose is to replicate Himself in you. Okay? You're called to look just like Daddy looks. Okay? You're called to behave just like Daddy looks. And the whole purpose of Him judging His own nature into you is because He wants His own nature in you. The whole purpose for Him to tell you to go and do what He has for you to be doing is because He's doing that and He wants you to do it too. The whole purpose for Him to promote you and appoint you and position you is because that's where He wants to live through you. Do you see? He's just taking you and moving you by this word into His very image, into His positions, into His actions, into His nature. Do you see what I mean?
How does that relate to the imputed righteousness of God and what you've just said?
All right, so when
God said it, the imputed righteousness is what God said, so period, good. That's the end of it.
Good, well, let me just say something about imputed righteousness. Dad has been teaching us the last couple of weeks about imputed versus imparted righteousness. Okay, imputing is a sort of like an assignment. It's like if I said, "Ha, look, you know everything about physics. I just assigned my physics to him. It's an assignment." I take my graduation certificate off the wall and I hand it to him. I've assigned him something which is mine, and I give it to him. I give you my physics, okay? Imputing is an assignment. It is a designation. It's a representation as though it's yours, okay? And the truth is, eternally, that imputing is real. Because He said, "I've given you this thing. It's imputed to you." Here's the truth. Ha! It's yours. And then there's the impartation. And the impartation is, all right, let's do some physics problems there, buddy boy. We're going to walk together and we're going to calculate up a few things. Okay? Here's some physics. We're going to work it through and we're going to incarnate that which has been imputed. Did you hear what I just said? That which is eternally true. He gave you His righteousness. He gave you His full nature. He gave you everything of who He is. Boom, just like that. Assigned. It's yours. Eternally. It's real. And now, there's a process of incarnation. There's a process where you're actually putting meat on those bones. Where you're actually starting to maybe act like you're righteous. Maybe you're going to possibly be patient once, okay? Who knows? Maybe even you'll love or be faithful or kind or gentle or something. The reality is that there's the impartation that happens in a moment. And He gives you the whole, He gladly gives you the kingdom. And then there's this incarnation. Now, for Jesus, it happened, you know, the truth is that it didn't even happen instantly for Him. There was, the scriptures say that He learned. Well, obedience. Okay, the truth is we have, you know, such old stuff that it takes us longer to learn than it took Him, I think, to learn. But there's this impartation, and it's real. It's a fact. And it's eternal. And it was there beforehand, okay? It all existed. Long before you came on the scene, before time was, He imparted. I mean, He imputed. But now here we are. And we're going to live, and we're going to become, and we're going to take on the image of, and we're going to look like our Father as He imparts His Word. His purpose of His Word is to continue the process of taking that which He imputed, here, yo, I'm just going to assign that to you, and turn it into that which is operational and looks just like Daddy, so that you look just like your Daddy looks. Do you have some other comments in that arena? So I want to get back very, very briefly and quickly to the seed. I want to say that you've got commands along with the faith to obey those. That's the ways of the Father. You've got judgments along with the faith to receive that in the seed. That's the nature of the Father. You've got the appointments and the faith to receive and expect those. That's the positioning, timing, and purposes of the Father. So in the seed is His genetics, His stuff. And in the seed is faith to receive those things, okay? And in the seed, there's also power. Just like in a regular seed, there's like the carbs and the proteins. In the seed, there's power for you to choose. You have been, when you receive the Word, I'm going to tell you this, you might not like it, but when you receive the Word, you are empowered to do it. You are. You can say, oh, but I can't. No, all you have to do is start. Nobody said that you had to build the whole tree, okay? But He did say, here's the truth, and you are empowered to, by faith, receive it, and that's your first step in becoming the thing that God has called you to be. That's your very first step. And you are, in fact, empowered to do just that. You're empowered to believe. Do you know that? You're empowered to believe. I have so much to do today that it's just never going to, it's just too much. Help, Lord. I want to talk
I'm going to skip some stuff and then and just go right straight to something I want to talk about. I want to talk about these interrelationships amongst the commands, the judgments, and the appointments. First of all, let me just say, you have been appointed. I mean, as soon as you accept the word of salvation, as soon as you take that one word, notice that it came. Notice that the word that God gives you to save you says, Mike, you're a sinner, and I got a cool, awesome approach here. Just believe, and I'll do this swap, right? And you say, oh, hey, well, that sounds like quite a deal. And the next thing you know is you've been appointed to a position of salvation. Boom, there you are. You believed just with a little tiny bit of faith because of the grace that was given to you, you believed it. And from that position, you begin to understand that you're a son, Mike. I'm a son too. You're married to a daughter. The reality is we are children of God, and in that position, we begin to recognize that everything that is from the position of being a child of God, fully loved, fully favored, the best thing that ever happened to him, that position of being a child, then everything is accessible to us. Don't worry, little children. The Father has gladly decided to give you the kingdom. Right? So there's this positioning that gives us access to everything. So now we've been positioned, appointed to the child of God position from which everything is accessible. It's almost like a foundation. Every time that God gives you an appointment, it's like he gives you a spot from which to do your next exploit. So here you are without a position. And he says, okay, well, here, you have salvation, but simply by faith, believe, receive. And you're like, oh, you know, boy, that sounds like a good deal. I'll believe. Boom. You have a position. Now he says, listen, you're my kid and I love you fully. Boom. You've got a new position from which to operate. So I'm gonna tell you, I have a friend and I myself have often, if I'm finding myself beset in various ways, sometimes it's good to go back to my foundational position. I got this foundational position that just says I'm God's kid. All right? Well, you guys know that, you know, I've also been appointed by God to be a pastor, right? And that's all great. But if I'm feeling beset there, maybe I'll just sit right here and be God's kid. Because this is a good solid spot. I'm comfortable here. I got this. And I don't have to do much else besides just believe that God loves me. Right? Do you see what I mean? So it's a good spot. And if I ever need to access this position, I've got it. Okay? I've got this position. I've been around long enough that I know I'm God's kid. And so that's a good solid position. The truth is that, you know, even if somebody says I'm not a great pastor, it's okay. You know, because I've been around that long enough too, that's solid to me too. But you understand what I'm trying to say? It's okay to back up to the last best spot that you're in, that you've been in. It's all right. You've got a spot. Here you are. Ha! I'm good. Okay? I know where I live from. Okay? All good. But every appointment that God gives us is a position from which to live. Okay? But let me say to you this. Every position that God gives you is enabled by God's gracious and glorious judgment. He offered you, before you were saved, he offered you this incredible swap of judgments. And because you accepted that swap of judgments, you had a position. You had an appointment. Do you see what I mean? You've been positioned because you accepted his love. You're his kid. You've accepted a position. Now, boom, it's because of his judgments received that you have the appointments. Now, many times, well, let's recognize, so God has What you guys may or may not know is I operate prophetically in certain regards, okay? And God appointed me there, okay? I'll just tell that to you. Okay? But you know, if I never opened my mouth in obedience to the command of God, then it's not going to be much of a prophet. Do you see what I'm trying to say? There's no way for me to really access that position that He has judged into me without obeying His commands. Speak this word. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So, I'm pointing out to you that the judgments of God support that appointment, and that keeping the commands of God, obedience to those commands, support that position as well. Do you see what I'm trying to say to you? So, the commands and the judgments of God enable the positioning that God has for us. Good. Good. Even the thing that says, you know, at the very beginning, here's this great deal. All you got to do is accept that Jesus is your Savior. Accept this. Believe this. And so there's Gail over there. She's got to make a decision. And she will either obey that implicit command to believe or she won't. So you see that even the basic salvation really comes from accepting by faith the judgments of God to acquire a position. That's how it works, okay? Life works that way. But I want you to understand that it's not just one direction. When God appoints you to something, sometimes a prophet will come to town, and the next thing you know, he's telling you, you're going to be this great thing, right? Jocelyn, has anybody ever told you that? The prophet comes along and says, you're going to do this or you're going to be that, okay? Right? And so the prophet says this, and you're like, oh, great news. The reality is, I'm just going to give you a hint. There's going to be some serious receipt of judgment to get there. God's good judgments for you. You're going to have to receive those. You're going to have to even kind of operate in those by obeying His commands, Jocelyn. Otherwise, you probably won't ever get to that position. Those are all true. But let me just say, you also are going to have to leverage the previous positions that you've been given in order to move from there and build up on top of there. So, let's just give an example of that. I gave you an example earlier with David over here that his position as a neighbor, let's just say, he's been positioned there. God didn't just randomly let David buy a house, okay? But instead, God positioned David where he had him to be so that. Now, I don't know what the so that's are, okay? And I don't have to know. But David does have to know. He put him there so that. And some of that so that is so that inside of David's life there would be a release of God's nature. And you know what? He put that nasty neighbor right there just for David, okay? David needed that guy so that David could learn patience, let's just say, okay? The reality is that God puts us in these locations so that He can put into us His judgments and give us His commands as an opportunity to exercise those things. You see, you're positioned so that you can be judged graciously. You're positioned and judged graciously so that you can be moved by command into a new location, and so that He can then appoint you yet further into the destiny that He's called you to be. You see, these things, each of them works. And so, let me just say again, the Word of God is like a seed. And it's looking, if God gives Mike a word, it's this seed coming into the dirt of this field right here. Here's a field. And it's got the genetic input of God that's perfectly calibrated to take this piece of this field and move him from where he is to where his next point should be, okay? And so maybe Mike needs to hear a command and simply, you know, keep that, obey that, somehow walk that. Or maybe Mike needs to recognize that he's called to this position, so that'll be the main thing, but maybe there'll be some other little pieces here. Maybe Mike needs to understand that he has been given faith to believe that, or he has been given patience to accomplish that. And so maybe the main thing will be one of God's judgments for Mike. Whatever the word of the Lord is, though, it's to move you into the image of God. His purpose is to implant his genetic code to accomplish his image in you. So let me talk to you very quickly and very briefly about a very important couple of verses. Both of them come out of Romans chapter 6. I want you to understand that you do have a job to do with respect to judgments. Okay? You get to do something with judgments. I'm going to pick on David again because I already did the patience thing. So David and his neighbor are right there. And God says, go talk to your neighbor. And David says, my time. And God says, I have patience for you. Okay, there you go. Got it? The truth is, it's not David, it's me. Okay? Because I know the situation. But anyway, let's leave it David. Just makes it easier to have it be David. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, says these words. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So now, here's the deal. You could say, you know, there's no sin in David just, you know, kicking back. He already mowed the lawn. He you know, washed the car. He did all, I mean, and besides, that was a whole day of work first. You know, there's no sin in kicking back his feet. But God just said, go talk to your neighbor. So let me just tell you, there is sin. So consider yourself, David, as dead to that which you would have thought before, and consider yourself alive to God, i.e., I am patient. This is what you do with judgments. When God says to you that you're patient, he's imputed it. He's imparting it now. He said to you, you're patient. Okay? He said that. That's an impartation. It's a seed. It's ready to come in. You're ready for this thing? What do? You believe. You consider yourself patient. But I know the last time I wasn't. You're dead to that. You're dead to sin. You are alive to what God has just given to you. So consider yourself for every one of his judgments. Whenever he judges you in a certain way, you consider yourself dead to the other stuff and alive to that. That's part of belief, Jocelyn. Jocelyn, it's part of you believing when you say, oh, God has judged me this way, then must be he's right, despite all the evidence that I have to the contrary. Right? Right? You consider yourself into agreement with his judgment over you. It's called faith. It's called believing. But it's considering yourself in agreement with his judgment over you. Understood? So what do you do when God gives you a judgment? You believe. You consider yourself what he said, not whatever you thought. Okay? Consider yourself. A couple verses later, it says, and do not go presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So, let me talk to you about commands. David can flick on the boob tube and put his feet up. That's David presenting his members, okay? Okay? As instruments of unrighteousness. Okay, what? He had a long day. That's David presenting his members as instruments of unrighteousness. Or David can get up and put one step in front of the other and actually make his way on over to the neighbor's house, knock on the door,
Okay? That's him presenting his members, just taking his pieces, parts, okay? And presenting them as instruments of righteousness to God. I'm going to tell you something. These are actually acts almost entirely of faith. It's just faith. It's belief. God, you know what? Actually, you know, these legs that feel tired because they just walked around my yard pushing the mower or whatever it was that I was doing. God, these I'm just giving them to you. This body, I'm giving it to you. My voice, I'm giving it to you. I'm presenting my stuff, my pieces to you. So with a command, when God speaks to you a command, you just present your body to him. When he issues a judgment, you just consider yourself the way he said and consistent with what he said. And by the way, not to whatever else you used to think, and yet not to whatever you were going to do, right? Does that make sense? So my point here is, God is interested. Well, let me. I'm gonna give you a couple of quick scriptures. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt, or in us. Okay, for the purpose of incarnation, right? The Word comes for incarnation in you. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. The truth is, as we see him, as we begin to see who he is, we become like him. That's what what's happening. John 17 says this. The glory which you have given me, and if you actually read chapter 1 of John, you know, in the beginning was the Word. Blah, blah, blah. It's all about glory, okay? But John 17 returns to the same topic. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. I won't continue, but the basic deal here is, John 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt in us. We see him. And when we see him, we become like him. We become one with him. You see, the whole purpose isn't to make you a nice Christian. Okay? Just FYI. It's not to make you a nice anything. It's to make you just like him. It's, in fact, to make you him, incarnate. It's not different. His Word comes in to your flesh to make you him, incarnate. Does that make sense? His purpose is that he be one with you, that you be one with him. You, him, one. The incarnation, the materialization of the Word of God in Gale. The manifestation of God's complete purposes in his entire nature. In Pat, the emergence of the reality of the kingdom of God in Jerry. It's a process. God's good. It's a process. Exodus 23, talking to the children of Israel. Do you know that there was a promised land? Anybody know that there was a promised land? You remember that? Was there a promised land? There was a promised land, but do you know that God didn't give it to them? The whole of it? Not at the beginning. He said, I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. I will fix your boundary, but I will drive them out. I will impute the entirety of my nature and my purposes and my positioning to you. But little by little, I will impart it to you and you will live it. And you will become it, and you will expose it, you will manifest it, you will become the Word incarnate. The message. So this Word that God brings to us.
I'd just like to comment one thing, and that is faith that hangs in there is essential. Jesus did it all perfectly. All right. The Word was incarnate in Jesus perfectly. It wasn't lacking. Agreed? But not every word that He gave was received perfectly. The scribes and Pharisees hated Him, rejected His Word, tossed it out. So if we expect that we're going to carry the Word and it's going to be received perfectly everywhere all the time, we're expecting something that even didn't work for Jesus that way. It was not a lack on Jesus' part. There is the freedom of them to accept or reject it. And that will be true of us as well. We carry the Word, the incarnate, the thing that God has put into us. And the best we know, we carry it and give it. Doesn't always get received. Sometimes it's not received. It's rejected. And when it's rejected, it's often accompanied with hate, as it was with Jesus. So just that reality. So when you set out to do this and you think everything's going to be just plain wonderful from here on in, not quite, not so much. We do have an enemy who's doing the very best he can to resist the works of God, even those which he has put into you to accomplish his purposes. You're falling apart, George.
I'll get back together. So one thing I want to say to you is you have a job to do. And your job basically is to believe, okay? It's to believe. God has positioned you, and He is positioning you, okay? So you come in, and you're saved, but let me just tell you something. You're called to the complete image of God. That's what you're called to. Just, you know, there you go, okay? That was your path. This is my path. Okay, there you go, okay? The truth is, God is calling you, drawing you, bringing you up to the image of Jesus, the image of the Father. The way He does that, little by little, is He gives you a word, and in that word is the genetics of the Father. Maybe it's a command. Listen, it's time for you to start doing this. I want you to go do that right now. Tomorrow, make sure you get this done. Those are commands. If you're struggling with one of those commands, just say, God, you know, I don't have the wherewithal to do it. And He'll point out, oh, yeah, actually, you know, I've given you the gentleness to accomplish that. I've imputed to you, and now I'm imparting to you, the goodness that will enable you to do that. The patience, the faithfulness, the whatever it is that you need. The love, the joy, the peace. I've given you that. Here it is. Yep, it's right there. See it? It's right in the seed. I told it to you. Here it is. I told you to do this, and I put into the package all the stuff you need to do that thing. It's right there. Here's my judgments. I judge you adequate to this task. You know what I'm saying? If He tells you to do something, He has already judged you adequate to the task. Isn't that good? Isn't that good news? It's amazing that if He calls you and He says, here's the deal, this is what you're up to, you can say, oh, wow. You mean you've given me everything I need to be that? To accomplish that? To do that? And the answer is yes. His judgments are for you to promote into you. So you got to consider yourself what He says you are. Consider yourself good. I'm not that good. I can't do that. I'm like, no. I'm sorry. Actually, you are that good. Just to let you know, you are that good. Because He said so. Because He told you to do it. So you're that good. Well, it's His goodness, okay? But He gave it to you. He imputed it, and now He's imparting it. You're good. You can do this thing. I'm not strong enough to do that. If He said for you to do it, He's giving you the strength to accomplish it. It's there. It's. He said so. Consider yourself in agreement with His judgments. And then present your body, the members of your body,
Your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, your pieces, your voice, your whatever. Present yourself as instruments. Estella.
Surrender and say thank you.
See, that what we're doing is we're coming into agreement. You see, what I'm saying to you isn't a whole lot different than what Jocelyn kept saying. Believe. Right? Yeah. Believe effectively. Don't just pretend you're believing. But consider yourself patient, David. If you need patience to go talk to the guy, then consider yourself patient. If you need more love to go talk to that guy, consider yourself the embodiment, the incarnation of love. Okay? Consider yourself the judgment of God. Say thank you. Come into agreement. What did you say? You said two things.
Surrender,
which is come into agreement, and thank him, because that's actually believing. And by thanking him, let me just say, you are considering yourself what he has already said. We often we know that that it's available to us. And often we so that's right here, okay? Oh yeah. God's love's available to me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course it is. Sure. Did you consider yourself love? God's peace is available to me. Yeah, but, you know, did you see what's going on? No. Consider yourself dead to that. Consider yourself dead there, and consider yourself alive to whatever it is that his judgments are for you. Consider yourself. And then, present your members in obedience to that. So all of this, the thing I want to say to you is that God is intentionally appointing you higher and higher. He's intentionally judging you higher and higher, more graciously and more powerfully and more fluently. He's judging you. His gracious judgments are bigger than you've ever lived before. He's doing this intentionally. He's intentionally giving you commands that you can't do. Oh, no, I mean, you can do. Just present your members to them. He's intentionally going like this every time. Every time he gives you the next word, it's up there. Higher than you could have reached before, but now the next thing you know, it'll be under your feet. Here's the truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt within you. Full of grace, full of truth. And the glory of the Lord is that you would be one with Him in this arena that He has just drawn you into. In this command that He has just, by His Word, enabled you by faith to be. Into this judgment that He has just enabled you to consider yourself coherent with His perspective on you. The Word becomes flesh every time you receive it. Let me just say that a seed has within it everything that is necessary to make the plant, except something. Jerry? What do I need? If I got a seed, what do I need in order to make that seed turn into a plant? Yeah. I need probably at least dirt and water. Okay. Yep. But let me just tell you something. You're His field. You're His field. That seed just simply needs you, the dirt, the field. I'm going to just tell you something about God. He's not stupid. Anybody want to argue with me? God's not stupid. If he puts that seed in your heart, he's got a good purpose for that seed. And I'll tell you what it is. It's incarnation. And the Word becomes flesh as it dwells within us, full of grace and truth. Therefore, consider yourselves as alive to God. Therefore, present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Therefore, accept the imputation and their impartation as He releases His various words to you. In the name of Jesus, I just declare the blessing of the Lord. May the word that has gone forth today be transformational to every hearer here. Lord, I pray that you will cause us to not only hear what you say on a daily basis, but we will receive with faith every one of your judgments. Whether it's clear from the word or implicit under the word, that we will receive the judgments that you give to us about us. That we'll agree with what you say about us. That we'll stop fighting and saying, no, that's not how I am. That's just blah, blah, blah. But that we will receive. We choose now to consider ourselves as dead to whatever else we used to think about ourselves and alive to you. That's what we choose to consider. And we'd also choose to present our members as instruments of whatever righteousness you desire to move from that imputation stage to the impartation stage and to walk in. Yes, Lord. And we love you that you have appointed us as your children. We love that position. And whatever it is that you appoint us to grow us into the full stature that belongs to Jesus Christ himself, we agree, Lord Jesus, we agree, Heavenly Father, have your way in us. Have your way in us. We surrender. We give you thanks. We say, have your way. Not our ways, your ways. Not our thoughts, your thoughts. Not our stature, your stature, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many blessings to all of you. Thanks for being here today. Grace, grace, grace to you. In the name of Jesus, grace to you all. I bless you. In Jesus' name.